Hello, Hallmarkies! Have I got a treat for you today? We are talking not only to someone who will be celebrating his birthday soon, but we are talking to the King of Winter, the King of Christmas, the Hallmark Series King, Mr. Kevin Blue Eyes McGarry!
Wow, what an introduction. Wow.
Did I mention I majored in theater?
That's so great. No, I can tell. You've got the range. I can hear your projection is amazing.
Oh, well,
you can hear you at the back of the room, so they say.
That's the goal. That's the goal. So, welcome back. We're so happy to have
you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, we promised. We promised we'd get you back once the season was underway. So we make good on our promises here on the Hallmarkies podcast. So first of all, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, are you sharing your age or are you keeping it a secret for your own amusement like Chris McNally does? Because, you know, according to the internet, you're dead.
Yeah, I know. I know. And according to the internet, I think he's like 24 and 39, or I don't know. He's got a bunch of ages out there. Yeah, I keep things personal. But, you know,
totally understand that. But yeah,
I think 1927. It's out there. I'm pretty sure it's out there. That's when I was born, 1927. So you can do the math. I'm doing all right. I'm still kicking.
You, what are you using? You look incredible for your age.
It's just a lot of moisturizer. A lot of moisturizer every hour on the hour.
Hair dye, I'm sure.
Hair dye, yeah.
Yep.
I go to sleep in like a cryogenic chamber. You know, I mean, it's all out there. You can look at my profile and it'll tell you what I do.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So do you have any birthday traditions that you like to do? Do you have a favorite place that you like to go to when you celebrate your birthday? What's a birthday day in Kevin McGarry's life?
Oh, man. I'm not big on birthdays myself. I mean, I don't really have a place that I go. The tradition is, I mean, my birthday, I think it's out there that it's March 19th. It's actually March 18th. And it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Again, see, I don't say much. So, I mean, if the internet wants to roll with it, I'll just be like, sure, it's March 19th. But it's March 18th. It's the day after St. Patrick's Day. So in my youth, and maybe
eons ago,
continuing on eons ago, because it was St. Patrick's Day, we would all go over for St. Patrick's Day and, you know, we'd have a few pints. And then by the time it hit 12 o'clock, you know, it'd be March 18th. And that would kind of be the celebration because nobody would remember the next day. Everybody would be too hungover to celebrate my birthday. So it's always just kind of bleeded in there with St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Which works out because I'm Irish, so it does.
You are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yep. McGarry, that's yeah.
Yes, but you never know where it comes from, so.
That's true.
Didn't want to make any assumptions. Yeah, no. My dad's side of the family is Irish too, so.
Oh.
Those Irish.
Yeah. Yeah, we're okay. We're a good group, I think.
So let's hear your best Irish accent.
Oh, I don't. You don't want to hear that. This is. It's just going to sound like a leprechaun, and I'm going to. It's. I can't. I've never really been asked to do an Irish accent. It's like, oh, ta-dee, ta-dee, ta-dee. That's all I really got. Did that?
That works.
Oh, ta-dee, ta-dee. Oh, you know the Irish. That's all. That's. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, works for me.
Let's hear your best Irish accent.
Well, what do you want me to be saying? You know, I got.
Oh, there you go.
I could be saying.
Yeah. That's nice. You got like a little pirate in there too. You got an Irish pirate.
Red-handed Jill.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were born in Ontario, right?
I was, yeah, in a small town called Kincardine.
What is it called? I tried to pronounce it and I couldn't for the life of me.
Kincardine. It's Kincardine. Yeah, it's actually it's like Scottish town, oddly enough. Yeah, small town. I think it was 5,000 people when I lived there. And born there. It's right on Lake Huron, which I think is one of the prettiest lakes in Canada. One of the Great Lakes. So, I mean, it does look like you're on an ocean.
Sure.
And we had this thing every Saturday in the summer, the whole town kind of goes down, comes downtown, and this pipe band, because Kincardine's Scottish, the pipe band goes up Main Street and turns around and comes back Main Street, and then everybody kind of has a little bit of party in the pavilion. And then there's this phantom piper who goes up in the lighthouse and plays the sundown because the sun would set over over Lake Huron. It's really pretty. It's a great spot to go vacation, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds gorgeous.
Yeah.
Wow. And what was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Oh, I had so many things. I mean, I don't know. I think really just kind of playing with friends. I really like to be social. And anytime I was with kind of my group of friends, I had a good time. So, yeah, you know. Kincardine was a great place to grow up too, because you could just, I mean, it was a small enough town that nobody kind of worried. Like, you know, you could go off and play and go through the woods and go to the beach and, you know, just kind of take off and have an adventure. So it was...
just be home by dinner.
Just be home by dinner, exactly. 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 My God, that was a time, yeah, back in the day when nobody was like, yeah, go ahead, just be back before dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice? And now I'm freaking out because, you know, in, at our house, we don't have a fence. So if my kids want to go play outside, then I got to go with them.
Go watch them. Yeah. You get leashes, though. If you put them on leashes,
just really long leashes. But then I'd still have to go out, you know.
You could just kind of watch them from the kitchen. Make sure, if as long as there's tension on the leash, they're still
my
there.
My 2-year-old would find a way out.
Really?
Oh my goodness. I've got 4 kids, 2 girls and 2 boys, and my 2-year-old, he's the youngest, and oh my gosh, the things that that kid gets out of, it's just, he would find a way.
Wow.
So speaking of kids, how many siblings did you grow up with? How many siblings do you have?
I have one. I have one brother, and he is a year younger than I am. So,
Wow.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time growing up together, kind of playing. Yeah, just one. My parents had to stop after that. They're like, two is too many. Two is just enough. 2 boys, I know. And they're like, that's where we're tapping out at 2 boys. So
I bet you
good
guys
for you for got the 4.
Right. Well, my girls came first. So.
Oh, I see. They eased the blow.
There you go. I bet you guys had all kinds of adventures together.
Yeah, like I said, you know, it was a great spot to grow up and play, and we would, my brother's name is Ryan, and Ryan and I would,
Busy.
Oh, wait a minute, are we related?
I don't, somewhere, you know, we're both Irish, we both have a brother
Irish
named Ryan.
Brian, yeah.
No, but I've got 5 brothers, so.
Oh, okay, no.
So, but, you know, somewhere down the line. We do, yeah. We've got lots of big families. My husband came from 7 kids. I came from 6, and then we have 4. So, yeah, it's a tradition.
That's a rarity around now. I think it's just like, cause, you know, families are getting smaller as the world turns and gets busier. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
it's
good
true.
For you guys.
Yeah, we have fun. We have fun. All right, so. Now, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I have to admit.
Oh, I love when a question opens up with that.
I'm dying of curiosity.
Okay. All right.
The W in your name. Are you willing to share what it stands for? Because it's just there and it's killing me.
Totally. Well, what do you think it stands for, first of all?
Willard.
Close. William.
Oh, yeah?
William.
That's my husband's name.
Well, here's the... So, is it really?
I'm dead serious.
This is weird. The deeper we go. It's actually a name that's kind of passed down to the firstborn of... coincidentally, it's been all boys. But my grandfather's middle name is William. My father's middle name is William. Mine, William.
Are you kidding
when
me?
When I have a son, it'll be William as well. And
that's
fun fact
the way
for the
it is
show,
in my family.
Oh, are you serious?
I'm dead
okay,
serious.
We have to be related. This is weird.
Somehow. All right, on the show, please. Go ahead.
On the show, Chris's middle name is William. So we're almost like, I mean, they cast almost the same person. I'd say Chris William McNally and Kevin William McGarry.
Oh,
I mean, it's, yeah. CWM, KWM. It's very
It's a good thing that Kevin's middle name isn't William, or there would be a whole. That's true. Lot of
N word, exactly. At least Chris has got a beard, so that gives us a little bit. You know, there's some difference there.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
You know.
By the way, we have a couple people on the podcast team who are really pushing for Nathan to get a beard. And I said, nope, he's a Mountie. He's not getting the beard.
He's got a beard right now because nobody's asking him to shave it. So I imagine, you know, when we go back, it has yeah. to be clean shaven. But I am enjoying not doing anything right now. It's actually getting pretty bushy.
Oh, so you're more of a beard kind of guy?
I'm more of a lazy kind of guy. So if I don't have to shave, I don't want to. I'm just about to do like an indie thriller kind of thing right now. So I'm going to see if I can get away with the beard.
Ooh.
in the movie, but who knows? It's a different look too, so we'll see. But right now, it's fun just not shave. So maybe he'll come with like a big handlebar mustache, or maybe like one of those old timey bad guy mustaches.
Twirling.
That's what Lucas should have. I think Lucas as a gambler should have like one of those D'Artagnan, you know, twirly mustaches with a little like pointy goatee.
That would be hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So, hey, Chris, how do you feel about that, man?
Wait, he's not on here, is he?
No, he's not.
Oh, I thought you were like special guest, surprise.
No, we actually had him a few weeks back. So, but yeah, let's talk to the makeup department, see how that goes.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So, speaking of projects, you had a very busy 2019, sir. My goodness.
I did.
Almost no chance to breathe, but here it is, 2020, and you've had an appearance on Schitt's Creek, and then When Calls the Heart. You got to up your game, man.
I think I just need a little bit of a break right now. I think I've just been enjoying seeing, friends and family right now. You're right, last year was just kind of project after project after project.
Yeah.
So I think I just taken the beginning of the year to just rejuvenate. I was going to go on a trip, but all the advisories right now are like, better not fly anywhere. So maybe I'll wait a month and just kind of see. Or also, it's also pretty cheap right now to fly too. So I don't know. I'll figure that out. But
the year is young.
The year is young. It's only March. But but yeah, I'm just about to start this little like thriller indie, which should be fun. And
can you share any details about it, or is it still top secret?
Well, I don't know many details, but yeah, so it's kind of just in the early stages. So I can't really. I get to play a bad guy. I mean, that's the that was the appeal on this one. That was something a little bit different.
Ooh, Team Nathan's not going to be happy about that.
No, well, they don't have to watch. he ends up being like, you think he's a good guy, but then he ends up being the one that's kidnapping people. This guy. So, anyways.
Oh, so kind of a two-faced.
Yeah.
Kind of a two-faced kind of guy. Ooh.
Exactly. Wow. So it'll be a little bit different. And then who knows what's going to happen this year with, I think we're just still waiting on some green lights. You're seeing what's happening with certain shows. So usually around April, you kind of find out, or end of this month, you find out. So yeah, and we'll hear about, you know, When Calls the Heart, or even the other show I do, Heartland, the cowboy one.
Yes, I am very familiar with Heartland.
Yeah. I think we're just still waiting right now to find out. So
that was the third thing I think I saw you on was Heartland.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, the first time I ever saw you was Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Yeah, well, I think that was my very first thing into the Hallmark world. It was because I just got off this show that I was on called Open Heart. Anything with heart in it somehow.
You've got a lot going on in that heart of yours, apparently.
Yeah, they just put heart in it. They're like, I know a guy who only does projects that have heart in them. But yeah, it was this doctor show. It was kind of a tweeny doctor show, but only did one season. And then, yeah, after that ended, then I flew out and did one of the Signed, Sealed, and Delivered MOWs. And that was kind of the next thing. I think it was about 7 months later or something. Then I got a call to star in one of them. So I was like, oh, well, I must've done something right in the Hallmark world.
You're talking about Love at First Bark, right?
Love at First Bark. Yeah. With Jana.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun because Jana and I also worked together on a project before. We were we did a country musical together.
Oh, really?
Country musical movie. Yeah. Cause she's a country star.
Right. I think it's so much fun to, you know, just to see how everybody's paths intersect and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fun. So speaking of Hallmark, what would you say has been your favorite Hallmark role to date?
I would say Nathan, honestly. I think just because it's a television show, it lends itself to be, you can delve a little bit deeper. The movies are great, don't get me wrong, but it, you know, they're about an hour and a half and you know, it's always about more of the connection with the two leads and how those stories, you know, how they're going to get together and, you know, the challenges they face. And rarely you kind of get to just kind of dive in a little bit to their individual characteristics. Where I think because of the show, you know, and the allotted time that we get, and, you know, it's an hour every week, 10 episodes. And with the Christmas movie, I forget, is it 12? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about 10.
Yeah. But we just get that time, especially this season. Alfonso really gave Nathan, we really kind of, even the first two episodes, it's just been diving in a bit more too, and also like a bit more meat to chew on for me too, that it wasn't I love triangle's great and there's stuff happening, but I think, you know, Nathan and Lucas, they get kind of they get individualism in season seven. You get to see a little bit like where they're from and why they are the way they are and what choices they make outside of the love triangle, you know, like it builds them up as individual characters. So yeah, I think Nathan, and he's also somebody that I don't like. I'm not really like that in real life. So it's always fun to just, you know, just kind of fall into that little bit of.
So you have no trouble talking to women then in real life?
Oh no, I thought that part's real. I think actually that might have been my own take on it, because I was never written that he has a hard time talking to Elizabeth. I think that was just something that I was, you know, and I'm actually willing, I think season eight, if we go there, I would be willing to explore a little bit more why he is so tongue-tied and what was in his past, and also like past love that he's had in his life you know, that maybe he got burned or something happened. Like, I mean, there's a reason why he's like this, and I'm looking forward to kind of opening that up.
That's actually one of my next questions, but before I get to that one, so if you had to say somebody besides Nathan, what would be your favorite Hallmark role? Because we all know how much you love Nathan, so if you had to choose somebody besides Nathan.
I had a really good time doing a movie called Song for Christmas with Becca Pogan.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I liked all the people involved in that. I liked our director. I liked the producers. I liked the cast. It was, I had a really good time on that one. And I think that one came together really strongly too. I really did. I just liked that one. Yeah. So I think that one, and his name was Owen, I think. Dylan. Dylan Owens, though. His last name was Owen.
Actually, according to IMDb, it's Dylan Lapp.
Oh no, you're right. It's lab. You're okay. Right. Still lab. Owen was the one with Jana. The
Love at First Bark.
Love at First Bark. That was Owen.
Yeah, Owen Michaels.
Yes. Owen Michaels. That's it. Because I think I played a character named Michael Owens on something else.
Oh my
else.
Gosh!
I was laughing. Yeah.
How do you guys keep these things straight? Woo.
I don't know. It is. But you're right, Dylan Lapp. And yeah, because it was the Lapp family Christmas tree and mm-hmm. all that stuff. But it was just, it was more of an ensemble piece. And I got to, I think what I liked about that is, even though it was Becca's story or her character's story, I really had a big supporting, you know, you get to see his family and his sister and his dreams. And like, it was just a bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just had a good time with that one.
So then that's your favorite Hallmark role. What's your favorite role that you've ever had, ever?
Oh, you know, I really can't say I've had a favorite role. I've really enjoyed, I was going to say most of them, but all of them really, like there's not one stands out. I like the challenge. I like the change. I like not sticking with anything for too long and like maybe uh-huh. doing something else. But I really like, you know, I look back at all the roles and they were all great in their own way. And yeah, I wish I could, because a lot of people, you know, do have them. And it's just, even like back to like plays and things that I've done, like they were all such great experiences. And I'm just so happy and lucky, I think, to be doing this. So yeah, I just hope.
What were some of the plays that you did?
Well, I mean, I did a few Shakespeare plays.
Always good.
I did actually, I toured this group with a show called The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged, which was the comedy that would do all the Shakespeare plays in an hour and 45 minutes or something. Like it was,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was a lot of verse, but it was also, it was a comedy as well. And I think
sure.
act two was just Hamlet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was great though. It was a lot of fun. And we kind of, and that was, I was like a producer on that. And I was part of the, I was running the tour. And then I was also in it as well. So that was great. I was in a festival called the Shaw Festival in Niagara-on-the-Lake, just above upstate New York. And I was
Man,
in,
forget the role. That just sounds like an amazing setting.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It is a beautiful, and it's wine country up there. And there's three theaters. It's a small little town. It's beautiful. There's tons of history there, because that's actually where, when the War of 1812 was going on with the British and the Americans.
Oh.
That's the only time that we were at war with you guys, Canadians and Americans. but it was right there. It was right, actually, the Americans came down. Fun bit of history. The Americans came and like took out Niagara-on-the-Lake. Like they won that. And then the British, the Canadians, came back and they burnt the White House down. They didn't burn it down, but they burnt it, because it used to be pink. It used to be like a pink stone or something. And they burnt it, and then they had to paint it over, and they painted it white. And that's why it's the White House, because Canada burned your pink. Well, I say Canada, British, the Britons. anyways, that's my fun. I always thought that was an interesting story. But I worked at that festival. I did a William Inge play called Come Back, Little Sheba, which was so much fun. And just the people in it were such powerhouses. It was really fun for me just to even watch. Those actors are phenomenal. I did a play called His Girl Friday, which was a movie based on the play. His Girl Friday was who was in that? Who was this suave dude from the 30s? Roman Holiday. He was in Roman Holiday.
Gregory Peck.
No, but he falls into that category. No, Cary Grant.
Okay.
Cary Grant.
Yeah, yeah, Roman Holiday was Gregory Peck, but then, yeah, Cary Grant.
Oh, uh-huh. Was Cary Grant not in? Oh, then I'm wrong. Anyway, yeah, sorry, Cary Grant was in.
Philadelphia Story was a big
yes.
Cary Grant one. So.
Yes. So, yeah, sorry. So, Cary Grant was in. Was in this His Girl Friday movie, but it was based off of a play called The Front Page. But then a playwright named John Guare, he rewrote it to be the Front Page, His Girl Friday. So I was in that play, and then there was another play called Enchanted April, and a Shaw play called Peace in Our Time. And these are all just obscure plays that I'm just, yeah, but it was great. I had a really good time, and I'd like to kind of do some more theater again down the road. but I'm just having a good time being on TV right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so maybe this will be a little bit easier, but favorite Nathan moment so far?
Favorite Nathan moment so far? I've got a few. I'm trying to think of like a nice one and a kind of a tougher one, because I really liked, and there's some good ones coming up actually. There's a good one with Aaron coming up that I don't want to say, but it's I had a lot of fun.
I'm excited now.
Yeah, I really like the story with his father. When Alfonso pitched that, and I was like, oh, I love that idea. And the idea of him having to arrest after like finally being like, okay, I'll give you a shot, and
yeah,
I might be wrong, and then getting the call and having to do it in front of everybody, you know, like it's. I was like, oh, I love that. I mean, it's just conflict and stakes.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. Yeah. And that scene when you and Aaron, sorry, Elizabeth, the scene when Nathan and Elizabeth are talking about his past, and he talks about the ruby brooch.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I almost started crying. Oh. That was such an incredible scene and such a beautiful performance from both of you, because
yeah, she's great.
It was amazing. Yeah. You can really tell how heartfelt and how deeply you invest in these storylines. I really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Alfonso wrote, there were big stakes. Like that was a big thing that you get behind, to be like, you want to let somebody in, especially like, you know, your father and your family member. And
sure,
it's just, they've hurt you again and again and again, and now they're back, and now you can't explain to somebody because they're too young to understand that maybe like not all family is always good. And you know, it was really put him kind of, you know, between a rock and a hard place, where he was, you know, he wanted to make Allie happy, but at the same time, you know, didn't want to get her hurt. And Aaron, he had to like lean on her and get her help. And Aaron is just, she's a great actress, and it's really fun anytime we get to play off each other. And when the stakes are high like that, it's great to kind of zone in. Yeah. I'm glad that you felt that way. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of people felt that way, but you have a personal endorsement. Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was great. It was fabulous. So, do you have any fun behind the scenes stuff of all of your shenanigans that happen on set? Has anything anything noteworthy?
That's like a funny joke. I mean,
anything.
It's all hilarious, but behind the scenes, it's such a good group of people, you know.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is a jokester, and everyone's got a really great sense of humor. That, you know, for sometimes how deep those scenes are, it can be just such a really nice place behind the scenes and filled with laughter. The last thing I can think of actually wasn't even on the show, but it was Chris and I were doing an interview with the Homan family, and they wanted us to take over the When Calls the Heart Instagram. And Chris was like, yeah, I think they just want to do it. Like they want us to walk around and kind of just do some behind the scenes at Homan family. And I was like, we should steal a golf cart and go around Universal Studios. And he's like, I don't know if they'd let us. I was like, let's just do it. It'll be really funny. So that was, you know, I thought that was, I had a lot of fun with Chris, kind of just, I think we just rode around for maybe 20 minutes and just, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
Hysterical. That, yeah. Oh man. And with both of you in beards, you look like brothers.
Yeah.
You so look like brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Maybe that's why one of us, we both can't have it. And let's say that'd be a funny storyline. It's season 8 that he like, Lucas is like, you know, taking the lead, and then Nathan comes in like dressed up as Lucas.
Oh, in a blue suit to show off those blue eyes.
Yeah. He's like trying to shuffle cards, but he's terrible at them, and they're falling apart. Yeah, just desperate measures.
Oh, that'd be him.
Yeah.
and that would definitely be a desperate measure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Hey guys, Cammy here. If you're enjoying this episode, then have you ever thought about becoming a patron? because when you are a patron, not only do you get to hear all of this awesome stuff, but you get giveaways and access to them. You get exclusive episodes that only you hear. And the best part is you can be a patron on Patreon for as low as $2 a month. So with all of this chilly weather that's going on outside and you want that nice cup of hot chocolate to cuddle up with, yeah, it costs less than that, less than a cup of hot chocolate per month. So if that sounds like something good to you, then go to Patreon and you can join for as little as $2 a month. And remember, you get exclusive episodes that only you hear and you get to participate in giveaways, which awesome. We got some really awesome swag happening. So come and join us and we can't wait to see you.
Okay, so about the tongue-tied issue. Mm-hmm. So one thing I noticed, because of course I also watch When Hope Calls as well, and I noticed just how different Nathan was in Brookfield versus Hope Valley. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, in Brookfield, you were the boss. I mean, you were sure of yourself. You had authority. You were telling Gabe how stupid he was being by putting himself on the line. And I actually wrote a blog about it. I said, mild-mannered Mountie or Captain Constable? Because in Brookfield, I mean, you were the take-charge kind of guy. There was one point where Nathan showed just a little bit of inconfidence, and that was when you said that you lost the culprit 3 days ago. But then mm-hmm. it was right back to business as usual. And then, of course, you know, we get into Hope Valley and, you know, you've got to deal with a lot more elements than you do in mm-hmm. Brookfield. And that was kind of my theory that, you know, you're around Elizabeth and that makes you tongue-tied. And then you're trying to raise a preteen girl, which can
be
a minefield in and of itself. You know?
And you'll see, I think, again, in the upcoming season, you're going to see, when it comes to the job, I think he's very capable, you know, like, but uh-huh. And that's really his strength, I think, is he's almost like the Superman where, like, you know, he's Clark Kent around Elizabeth, around how to raise a young girl, like, just things that he is so unsure of, he, you know, that's where he gets tongue-tied, that's where he gets second-guessing himself, like, on the spot. Where the things that he is sure of, the, you know, he is the truth, justice, and the American way, that Superman is, like,
or the
when
Canadian
he is
way.
A policeman, or the Canadian way, truth, justice, the Canadian way, that he's that when it comes to his job, you know, and that's why when Brookfield, you know, like, that was there on a mission, that was there, and, you know, a different with Gabe, you know, like, I mean, we kind of had a talk of the, you know, they knew each other. And so you'll see that in the upcoming season, season 7, when he goes on, he does a few more missions and there's a more, you know, more things where he's off on his own, where he's much more sure of himself. There's no, you know, even in this last one, when he arrested, Donnie Edmonds. Like, he was, there was no messing around, right?
That was
to get
classic.
Off at the end. Yeah.
That was the most awesome moment when he says, I don't suppose you'd let an old family friend off with a warning, and just click. No.
Yeah.
I loved that moment. It was so cool.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's who that guy, I think that's who Nathan is, in elements that he feels comfortable in and sure of himself in. But Elizabeth and Allie have a tendency to knock him off his feet,
so to speak.
By just being themselves. Yeah, and he's just not sure, you know, like he, so, you know, children and women are not his strength. And he's trying his best, but I think he almost enjoys going to work. He's like, okay, I get this. I know this. Oh, good, it's a bad guy that has a gun and, you know, I understand that. I can take
this. I can handle.
Yeah.
So speaking of that mission, there were there were a couple of people that I talked to that were curious about the stunt of you being blown up by dynamite.
I got a slow motion video of that. That was pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to know, because I assumed that there was a stuntman somewhere involved, but also there was a very clear shot of your face. So, tell us about the movie magic behind that blast.
Oh, I mean, just angles, different angles. I mean, you know, we did one where they blast was behind me, and I jumped from it like towards the camera.
Okay.
So that must be where my face was there. But the other one, and why I was able to have a video of it, is my stunt double was they had him on a cable that, you know, they would a group of guys would pull down, and he would kind of fly up over the explosion. But they did the actual pyro explosion, and then they pulled him up, like, and he flew over the. Over the fire, but it was from a different angle. And then they must have cut, you know, at the beginning to my face. But no, I wish I did my own stunt there. I wish I could say, I just did it because it's my job.
Do you have stunts that you do yourself?
I've done, you know, if I can. I was in, although again, we lost to the cutting room floor, but I was in one of the XXX movies, the Vin Diesel thing. And I got to do like this fight scene, and they brought a stunt coordinator in, but I was like, oh, I think I can do it. And anyways, I got to, they let me.
Cool.
It was great. It ultimately did not make it in the movie, but them's the breaks. I just, I assume that I was too good. I assume that they're like, this guy is stealing focus. This small fight in the scene in the movie is, people are going to be wondering what this is all about, and we just can't have that. So that's what I like to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
Hands down.
But also there on that show, on When Hope Calls, I don't know if I can say it because I guess they played it already. Anyways.
Yeah.
So he does come back for one more episode. You'll see Nathan and Gabe working together, and there's a moment where they're running. And I lost my footing and I fell while we were just like running normally. It was like, I just looked like an idiot. I mean, it wasn't, I was able to get up, but I guess they got it was while we were shooting. Well, they got that take and it made it into the dailies, and it went back to Alfonso, the showrunner. And then he texted me like, am I gonna have to get a stunt double for you to run down the street? like, no, I can run. It's fine. It's just, the gravel came. I'm fine. Anyways.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But I can run, everyone. Don't worry. I'm fine.
No broken ankles.
No broken ankles. Yeah. I'm a capable person.
No, I remember when it came out on Hallmark Movies Now, because that's where I first saw it. I said, man, good thing that Nathan didn't die, because then he would have died on another show. That's like going to another dimension and dying.
Yeah.
It would have been very awkward
be
for
weird.
One Calls
it would
the
be
Heart.
Weird. They kill him off on another show. That would be weird. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I actually want to talk for a minute about the scenes with Nathan's dad. So I don't know if this was an actual choice for you and Michael Hogan, or if it just kind of happened, but that first scene when he shows up and then the two of you go into the jail and he's getting you caught up. He just got out of jail 3 weeks ago and he says something about trying to find your mother and you say, no, she's got a new life.
Yeah.
Was it a character choice, or did it just kind of happen that the two of you started to sound like each other? You almost started mirroring each other, so you actually looked like father and son. It was really,
really
awesome the way it played out. And I remember writing down, because you know I was writing down notes for when we do the recaps, and I said, "Oh my gosh, did they do that on purpose? That looks so awesome."
I wish I could say yeah. No, I'll just attribute that to Michael's great performance then. Maybe he did it. Maybe he was like, this will be great. I definitely was, it didn't cross my mind. I think I was just burning up with anger.
The Canadian rage definitely came out.
But no, I didn't. That wasn't planned on my part. So that's really interesting.
Well, it looked fabulous.
Great casting. And also, yeah, let's just say that Michael planned that and he's brilliant.
Michael is a fantastic actor. Okay.
Yeah.
So really quick, I want to just kind of throw this in here. Heartland. So are you going to show up in Heartland again in 2020, or is that still under wraps? Or
I think if they'll have me, if it goes again, yes, I am. I'm pretty sure you'll see me. I don't think Mitch is going anywhere.
Okay.
Well, that's what I think. I could get a call right after this. But yeah, I don't. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, is this how you tell me? Is somebody else on the other line? No. I think there's, I mean, it's not official right now. And nobody, I don't know what's going on with the show. I don't know if it's going to get a green light for season 14, which is wild. But I know it's a very popular show, and I'd be surprised if it didn't. And mm-hmm. If that's the case, and if they do come back, yes, the show's reached out already and been like, would you like to come back? Would we, you know, so yes, you'll see Mitch again if the show's back.
All right. So besides lying about being able to ride a horse and having Amber teach you how to rope, what was your favorite part of being on the show? Or what is your favorite part?
On Heartland? I mean, that is, I really think that I love going back to that, that production, that cast, the crew.
We've got a lot of double hearties. We've got a lot of double hearties who love When Calls the Heart and Heartland.
It's a great show, you know, and I owe that show a lot because, you know, I've been part of that show season 9, so is it 13 or 4? Mm-hmm. It'll be 5 I go back. Like, I was able to learn a lot on that show and had the opportunity to kind of get better as an actor. So, and I mean, we're working with Michelle, there is a type of chemistry that I think we have that's, we just kind of get along.
I like
all stuff with her is great. I really like working with Chris too. I think he's kind of, not Chris, I mean, I like working with Chris too, but.
No, Chris Potter. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, I think he plays his character really well. He's not so grumpy in real life.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we can be, but no, he's very nice. But he just, you know, he's been in the business for so long that he's got, when he talks, I really try to listen. And same with Sean, you know, like Sean's such a great character actor, you know? And I was like, oh man, that's not his whole look is not what he looks like in real life. And the way his cadence and the way he speaks and it's all
right.
I mean, it just comes from a different world, a different school of acting that works really well, I think, for him. Anyways, that it's fun to, it's fun. There's so many personalities on that show and everybody works such a different way that it's fun to watch that, you know, as at least I wasn't outside. I think I've graduated to like a sidekick on that show. I was outside right now. I'm kind of, yeah, it's really fun to watch everybody work and everyone's just so lovely. And the scenery is insane. Like I remember having Potter was directing an episode and Sean and I had to like move this herd across a field and they went down to the other end of the field, which was like 2 football fields away, and they called action and Sean and I herded this cattle through these 2 mountains. And it was just beautiful. Like, I mean, and there was no acting, like it was just, we had to make sure the cattle didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. Like it beats,
beats a desk.
Crappy studio. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, a studio in Mississauga or something like that any day over Yeah, it's great. The scenery is such a big thing. Calgary, Alberta, so beautiful. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is Canadian, my brother's wife, and so I've visited a couple of times, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, there's elements of like a Texas kind of style. It's really.
Oh, I'm from Texas. So.
Oh, no kidding.
Lovely that you would say that.
Yeah. I drove through Texas. I went through East Texas,
really?
And I thought Texas was beautiful. Yeah, East. We were in. Where's this? Where's the hip spot right now that everyone's going? That's all the bands are there. What's the
Austin, South
Austin.
By Southwest?
Oh yeah,
but
yeah,
it's canceled right now because of the virus.
I know.
But I'm 10 minutes away from Austin. That's where I live.
It was such a beautiful. So the barbecue there was amazing.
Oh, nobody does barbecue like Texans.
Oh, amazing. I wish I could remember where we went. But my buddy
probably Rudy's. Probably Rudy's.
That sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. And it was like
Rudy's
the mustard
has some of the best. Oh, yeah. Oh. Rudy's has some of the best barbecue around.
Yeah. I loved Texas. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. Great. We'll have to have you back to try Bluebell ice cream.
Oh, man. I'm there.
Oh, yeah. There. Oh, yeah. I have to tell you, my favorite scene that I have seen yet with you and Heartland is when Mitch and Peter are trying to take care of Lindy. And the,
oh, yeah.
And the two of them are just bumbling through it.
Yeah.
And we got to find Lammy. We got to find Lammy. And Peter hands Mitch, this is a pig, Peter.
You know, yeah. Get your head in the game. Yeah.
That was my favorite scene.
I think that was a little improv. I think because Gabe is such a funny guy and he's so quick too that I think they kind of let us just do a little bit of our own thing with some of that. So yeah, that was great.
Oh, well, and good thing the baby behaved.
Yeah. You know, I think babies and horses. I've just, it's my career goodness. As well. There's always like, okay, make sure the baby's head is not always facing the camera just in case they're crying.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So we've got some fun moments coming up for fatherly moments, it sounds like. Just, you know, just from things that you've said and things coming up, it sounds like Allie and Nathan are gonna have more more guardian and niece time. Those moments are wonderful to watch. Anything you can tell us about upcoming episodes without revealing too much?
I said this on another podcast too, that I think you're going to see, and Nathan, it's a challenging season for him and it's going to get more challenging. You're going to see him try to step a little outside of his comfort zone and fail and how he deals with certain things. And it's a challenging season for Nathan.
Right.
And it was, again, fun to play and fun, like, you know, because nobody's a perfect person. And it is, it's not like a bad thing, a bad guy, but he just kind of lets certain emotions get the better of him a little bit.
Right.
But his passion's there. I mean, he's not.
Definitely.
He's definitely a passionate guy. But yeah, he definitely, he gets challenged in the upcoming, I think it takes a couple episodes. Yeah, it's fun to play, like, just kind of like a real character that somebody, you know, that doesn't always pick the right thing to do and has to, like, deal
right.
with those. And the other thing is, a nice thing is he's got an arc that doesn't wrap up in one episode, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to kind of see, it's going to take
always
a little while
good.
For him to find the right, yeah. Yeah, so,
always
like, don't
good,
give up
yeah.
on him when he's, you know, not at his best, but he... his heart's in the right place. And I'm trying not to give things away. It's not like I'm.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Well, we actually have to finish up, but this has been so much fun talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
So where can people find you on social media?
Oh, I said this on the other one. My cell phone number is 524-77. No. I don't know. I mean, I just Google my name and I think I'm on Instagram. I think my handle is Kevin McGarry W, something like that. And then
I think you're right.
Yeah. There might be some underscores in there.
And now you know what the W
better.
Stands for.
And there you go. anybody listening to you, you're in on it. Yeah, I should spend more time getting better at the social media stuff, but I'm basically Instagram, and I've got a Twitter handle that I sometimes will sneak on and try to tweet some stuff during the show. But I watch them through screeners because we don't have the Hallmark Channel in Canada,
right?
Or I don't have it, so I have to watch it first on the screener. And then I just kind of look at people's tweets and try to be like, oh, yes, I remember that. And,
well, we love watching you, and we look forward to it. We
thank
look
you.
Forward to seeing what you're going to do.
Thank you.
So good luck with the rest of the season, and I am 95% certain we'll see you for season 8.
I'll take that 95%. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great rest of your day and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. We'd like to thank Kevin for coming on. And if you would like to follow the podcast, please do so all over social media. You can listen on iTunes, and you can also go to YouTube and give us a thumbs up. We'd love it. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cami Drama Girl. You can find me on Facebook with the Hooked Hardy Facebook page, and my blog is hookedhardy.com. Have a fabulous Hardy day, everybody. Bye-bye.